welcome to another episode, a special episode of the Koshcast on underthekoshblog.com. My name is Alex. Mohanad is with me.
Hi, everyone.
And today we have a very special guest, Kevin Claydon. Kevin is an actor and a writer who has a prominent role in the CBC's new soccer-based drama, 21 Thunder. Kevin, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys. Anytime.
And we should declare an interest here. We know each other.
Yes. Do people know how we met?
No, it
doesn't. People understand, because the story's
please,
too funny.
Please, go ahead.
So we went to university together. We went to U of T, and we had an undergrad class. We had an undergrad class in first year, and what was it? Statecraft and Strategy, right?
Statecraft and Strategy, yeah. Which essentially was like all the wars in Europe from like
beginning of time.
1000
yeah,
to...
Yeah,
there's a lot of them to cover.
Yeah, it was dense. Yeah, and... Yeah, we did like 300 years of class. It was crazy. So you're in these big classes of like 300 people, and then they break up into tutorials, obviously, and it's like smaller classes. And so you have scheduled tutorials that you're in like every week in a particular room. And this was probably the first or second week of school period for me, like of uni. And like, and Phil and I, like Phil's one of my best buddies, Alex knows Phil.
Right.
He's just as stupid as I am, and we sort of wander into this tutorial, and we sit down, we find the room, we sit down, and Alex is there, and we are kind of just waiting forever.
This
and
is amazing. I don't remember this.
You don't remember this?
I'm fascinated.
You don't remember this? No, the first time, the only reason why we know each other is because we went into the same tutorial, and me, you, and Phil started like shooting shit, right?
Right.
And I don't know, maybe we were talking about the West Wing or something like that, whatever. And we're just shooting the shit, and then we look, and we're like, why is nobody in this room? Do you remember? Why is nobody in this class? It doesn't make any sense. We're like 10 minutes into this, and of course, Phil pulls out his binder and opens it up and looks, and our tutorial doesn't start until next week.
So it was like
the three biggest idiots in the class just got to know each other like right there, and
fantastic.
And it just went downhill right from there.
So just keeners,
yeah.
Even started.
That's a generous way of putting it.
Three idiots who don't know how to
read a schedule.
Yeah, pretty much. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
It's okay. I mean, I've missed exams in first year. Like this is good.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I wish it was just tutorials.
Yeah,
perfect.
That's when I was like, this guy's on our level. This guy's
for
on our
better
level.
Or worse. Yeah. That's wicked.
And here we are, man.
I'm glad you remember that, because that's great. So in case people are confused up to this point, haven't heard of the show, tell us what Thunder 21 is, tell us your character, and where people can see this.
So it's premiering on Monday night, which is July 31st at 9 p.m. And it's in the 8-episode series, and it's about essentially a under-21 academy team. It's a story of young soccer players that are playing for an elite academy team, and they're all kind of trying to make the pros, right? And so the team is based in Montreal, along with the first team,
right?
The Montreal Thunder, and. So it sort of follows the story of these athletes trying to make it to the pros, and at the same time they're sort of dealing with the off the field drama of their lives, right? And it gets really dramatic. There's lots of you guys know there's lots of drugs and sex and violence and as much, if not more, probably happens off field than on field. But it's great because it's a story of sort of young people trying, sort of growing up in this really competitive environment,
right?
And the drama that comes with that, and the sort of the plot just keeps going and going and going, and and sort of many of the plot lines you keep going down the rabbit hole, and it's. And the interesting thing too is the writers have done a really great job of trying to stay true to the sport and to what the process is of actually becoming a professional athlete, how demanding it is. But at the same time, like all good writing, you have to weave in sort of universal themes and universal storylines and things that people who necessarily aren't into soccer care about, right? Like love and sex and drugs.
Right.
And
so, so we've had the pleasure of seeing the first two episodes, and you're right. Even though some things, well, a lot of things happen off field. There's all that social, you know, drama that goes on. It always kind of ties back on how it affects that certain character, which is usually a player on the field. So right. Something will happen, and then there's a game coming up, or something. You know what I mean? Like, it always ties in still to how there's an effect on his professional career, I guess. And also, the one thing to remember when everyone's watching this is that it is an under-21 academy, as in these players are 19, 20, 21. It's easy to sometimes, when I was watching it, to think, well, why would he do that? That's quite irresponsible. But you got to think, you're not...
It's a kid.
He's not a pro yet. Like, he's still a kid, and he's still making those life decisions that will determine whether he will make it or not, right?
And that's one of the important things to remember, right, you know, we watch professional athletes, now star professional athletes in pretty much every sport, certainly the big four here. You know, you're like you're getting paid a lot of money and are operating at an elite level when you're like 21 years old.
Yes.
So, you know, there are people that are carrying storied franchises on their backs.
Yeah.
Have been able to drink for like a year and still, you know,
yeah,
don't know like anything about life and have never been in love and don't. So, it's easy to forget. And one of the things this show does very well is it's easy to forget that these people, these young people are extremely accomplished on the field in their craft as athletes. But all other aspects of life, they're not. And they're
yeah,
kind of trying to figure that out while dealing with the pressures of becoming a professional athlete. And in that competitive environment, and then, you know, what they've also done is this show is not by any means just about the soccer players.
No.
You know, Stephanie Bennett plays Christy Cook, who is a coach, who's a former she's a former Canadian Olympian.
Right.
She's an amazing soccer player herself, and she's sort of moving into coaching. And then so there's a lot of drama on and off the field with her life, and then with sort of the other coaches and her sort of like assuming a position of authority in what is seemingly a man's world.
Yeah,
all that kind of stuff, right? So there's lots of different like layers going on, right? So
yeah, no, I was gonna say like even just from the trailer and kind of episode one, I would say, you know, you've got scouting, you've got agents, there's gambling, gender equality issues. Like, it's covering a lot of issues
yeah,
here, which must be nice as an actor getting to deal with all these kind of different situations.
Yeah, for sure. It's, I really do think that the... well, okay, so you and I are both West Wing fans, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm obviously of the belief that everything starts with writing. Like
sure.
Anything that's, it's really easy to screw up bad writing. That's fine. But you can't make a good movie or show without the foundation of really good writing. You can't do it. It's like it's a foundation. It's impossible to do. And I really think that the strength of this show starts with its writing. There are about six or seven main storylines,
mm-hmm,
that sort of are interwoven very well, but they all deal with different contemporary issues,
right?
Sort of delicately, right? I mean, they sort of delicately. Maybe that's not the best word. They thoroughly deal with them, but in a really smart, kind of articulate way. You know, they don't there's a lot of gray in the show. The writing doesn't really take sides with a lot of things. It operates in areas of gray instead of being black and white, which is really interesting, right? So there's lots of stuff. There's gambling. There's dealing with the process of racial inequality, gender inequality. There is marital issues. There's first love. There's so much stuff.
Immigration
going on.
Even.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Immigration.
Yeah.
The drama between sort of, you know, family ties and
yep,
and like, there's just all this kind of stuff happening but that stuff, it is great as an actor to get to play with that stuff, because you don't always get that, right? And
mm-hmm,
so I really have to give credit where it's due, and it really starts with our writers, really, and I guess the executives who conceptualize the show.
We were talking earlier about I mean, obviously we're interested in slightly why maybe CBC or the writers felt that we would use a soccer-related kind of background to the show. It's definitely not, I mean, like you say, the top four sports, it's definitely not, you know, top three. Do you feel that that's maybe an effect because there is a lot of growth in kind of soccer in Canada, the grassroots level, but also even at the club level?
Yeah, I mean, we've got Canadian Premier League coming and developments like that. Yeah, like why now?
I mean, it's a brave decision, I think. It could have been easy to just do it around hockey, right?
Yeah, I don't want to speak for Kenneth Hirsch and Adrian Wills and Riley Adams, the writers and the executives who conceptualized the show and pitched it and all that kind of stuff. I don't want to speak for them, but I do know that it's really relevant right now. Soccer is booming in this country. It's also the most popular game in the world, yep. Right? So it's not going to hurt with international audiences and all that kind of stuff. But I really don't think it was made for a... So it's fertile, right? But I don't think it was really made for a business decision. I think it's because it's something we haven't really seen before here, especially, yeah. Right? We just haven't. And it's the MLS is taking off, and Montreal is such a wonderful international city, and it's got a lot of international flavor to it, and so does the game. And I just think that it's... it just hasn't really been done before, and it's always interesting to sort of explore something new. I think now is the perfect time to do that. You guys know better than I do that how much this sport's growing in this country, right? I wonder if soccer fans are excited for it. I mean, I don't.
I was just about to say I don't think we should really underestimate. I mean, obviously that's not the main goal, but I don't think we can underestimate how many fans or views you might get just because it has that background. Obviously, there's all the drama attached to it, but. I don't watch TV shows that much, but you know when Alex said, "Hey, watch this one," it's kind of based around, you know, there is a lot of soccer in there. Right. And I thought, you know what, let me check it out, because I'm trying to think now, even internationally, how many shows? I mean, there's a lot of movies, but how many shows are based on kind of a soccer theme?
Well, the movies are also terrible. Like,
yeah, sure.
Talking about movies like Goal and stuff.
Exactly.
And like Beckham.
Yeah. Well, so, that was
all
okay.
Right. It was okay.
I mean, I'm a viewer that will. Watch this whole thing because it has that connection, and obviously the rest of it needs to keep me engaged because you know I'm not, you know, I can watch a soccer game, but it's obviously you know I can see that it will just from watching the first few episodes.
It's a way
it's
in
nice.
For you.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a way in, right? Yeah. And then the idea is sort of it's a way in for you, and then the storylines sort of keep you engaged throughout. And you know it speaks to what you said earlier about how, and I know I you know I. We had discussions about this with the writers and the executives, and when you start to know about the characters, when you start to learn about the characters and get into their lives, that's when you start to give a damn about what's happening on the field.
Right.
Because when you know when you have the context of who those people are,
right.
That's when, it's like, you know, in the movie, like, The French Connection, right? It's like, car chase like that. It's like, it's only tense, and it only really matters. The seconds only matter because you care about the people who are in the car, right? I think that, you know, soccer is going to be a way in for probably some viewers who, you know, if it was just a straight up drama, maybe it wouldn't have sparked their interest or whatever. But you know, like anything else, like Friday Night Lights, like you sort of really get drawn in by the off the field stuff, right?
Yeah.
So it's just storytelling. It's pretty, you know, that's the stuff that draws you in.
Well, we told you off mic actually. There's a reference very early, and this isn't really giving anything important away. But
right.
10 seconds in, there's a reference to Malmo, which is a Swedish football club.
Yeah.
It's not particularly, you know, people know it because one of the world's best players, Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Right.
Started his career there. Basically, that's
other
why people
that,
know it.
Yeah.
But it's pretty obscure. And so from 10 seconds in, as a soccer fan, you're like, that's something that like only someone plugged into that world would know about. And so it gets you immediately.
You almost enjoy that it wasn't a Barcelona or a Real Madrid or something so generic or a Manchester United. You're like, let's just go and pick the biggest club in the world, make people know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
It was fun that it was chosen realistically
It's not something that like a writer pulled up Wikipedia or something. It's like
this, yeah,
right. Like it's no. It's like there's a level of insight and research into the game and sort of that
exactly
that soccer fans would pick up on.
Yes,
absolutely.
So for you, how did 21 Thunder come about?
The way it usually works with something like this is sort of they do a broadcasting of the whole thing, and you bring in a bunch of people, and I went through a couple rounds of auditions essentially, and I ended up getting, like, it was just, I didn't know any of the executives, I didn't know any of the, I hadn't even worked with this network before, so like I literally just got picked out of the audition room, right?
Right.
And then I had an audition with the director of our first two episodes, Jim Donovan. So I had a pretty lengthy audition with him. It was about 40 minutes long, I think, or something like that. You'll get a kick out of this. And then you don't hear anything back. And then I got a call, like, and I think I was supposed to put a soccer tape together, like a tape of like me doing soccer, actually, like before, right? Like before, and I just didn't do it, or like I forgot, or something. I don't know, I can't remember. And then I got a call from my agency being like, they need to see a tape of you like
doing today, something physical
today.
Right? Yeah.
So like I haul my ass out of bed and I bang on Phil's door. So like one of my good buddies, Phil Moniz, he's a director, which just works out great for me.
Yes.
So I go and I bang on his door and and I'm like, hey, I need you to help me film this thing today. And he's just like, oh, I can. So we like mosey on over the field, and I never played soccer growing up. Right. I played a lot of hockey, like played pretty competitive hockey, but I never played soccer. So that took a lot of patience on his part.
What did you do?
Nothing. Nothing.
Where do you get a soccer ball? You bought one? I mean,
Like I had a soccer. Evan, one of my buddies, he has cleats and a soccer ball. Right. He plays soccer. He's a cool. But I just kind of went out there and Phil pulled out his iPhone and we just shot this just awful, debaucherous kind of like, ugh, just the worst thing in the world. And then so then I just sent it off to them and just didn't hear anything back for like a couple weeks. And then I'm sitting in my underwear on my couch watching Stranger Things, my agent called me and was like, "Yeah, you got the part." But it was like right as, have you guys seen Stranger Things?
No,
you don't. I don't want to spoil it. It was like right by the climax, with like L's by the wall, and so like I'm freaking out watching the show, and I'm on the phone, and like that's happening, and it's just like this kind of like crazy instance of like I don't even know what's going on right now. But then they're like, "You're off to Montreal," and like. 2 days.
I think I think the horrible tape wasn't too bad. You're playing a center back. You're playing.
Listen, so, I'm not a soccer's not my thing. Like, I'm not a great soccer player. What we did is like I obviously had to try and learn about the sport as quickly as possible. And I watched a lot of tape, and I watched a lot of tape on what a center back does and sort of what his strengths would be, what his job is on the field, sort of how he would train, all that kind of stuff, and then I just tried my best. I had like 2 weeks and they brought in really great coaches and consultants to train us. And we had 2 weeks to sort of, and I just tried as best I could to sort of make it look plausible what I was doing.
Right.
Yeah, we wanted to ask about the whole like training thing. Did they bring in any soccer specific training?
Yeah, they did. So they brought in a really great set of soccer coaches that has the daunting task of training a bunch of us cast members. We have no idea what we're doing. Some of the cast members are good soccer players, like RJ plays Nolan, and he's a good soccer player. Emmanuel Kabongo, who plays Junior Lolo, he's a really good soccer player, and obviously Divya Gatton.
Yeah.
Yes.
Divya Gatton, Ryan Pierce, he used to play professionally in Europe, so he's okay.
Does Scotland count as Europe? Yeah.
But then there's the rest of us. It's like me and John and Andres out there just ruining the sport for everybody. We went out also, like they would give us a bunch of stuff to do in our downtime, and so we would sort of go out as much as we could in our downtime together and sort of work on stuff. But more so what they had to do is they had sort of these big, well, you guys have seen the first two episodes, right? So they have these big sort of soccer scenes, sequences. Yeah. And there are critical moments in them, so yeah. they got to kind of rehearse them like a set, like a stunt, right? So in the couple weeks leading up to shooting, they would sort of, we would round up everybody. They'd do like a big rehearsal where they had all the team members there, and then they would have camera team there. Usually, I think Mario was there the first time. They would have some of the camera guys there and stunt coordinator and all that kind of stuff and the ADs, and we would sort of choreograph these big soccer
right,
scenes.
Like dances.
Right, like dance. It's exactly like dance. Or like, it's what I imagine like a fight. It was like what right. a fight sequence is like in a right? It's very similar. And so, so your job primarily as an actor, like my job is, I would love to be the best soccer player I can be. But my job is to be able to pull off the specific stuff that I have to do
right.
properly. And that's also not necessarily... what's more important than being a really good soccer player is looking on camera like you're a really good soccer player, and those are not the same things very often.
Right.
Same
right.
with, like, you know, in movies, like shooting a gun and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, very often it's different, right? Because you have to sort of hit a mark, and you got to be able to do things properly and sell to the camera and all this kind of stuff. Mm. And so we ended up spending most of our time sort of like, I don't do a ton of soccer stuff just because the nature, like, I don't score many goals. My character, I'm a center back.
Right.
But I mean, there are specific things. I got to do a header and stuff like that. And you kind of, like, I worked on that. They would sort of be like, this is what you got to work on. This is what your body is moving like right now. We need it to move like this. You got to work on, you know, we have, like, I have, like, 10 days, like, on my own time to sort of, like, work on that kind of stuff. And making sure I prioritize those moments.
Yeah.
That's sort of what I had to do and... But, you know.
We saw a scene where you kind of, I think in the first few episodes, you went up against someone like for a header and like a 50-50. Mm-hmm. And I was watching that, I was thinking, you kind of have to act you're falling down. Like, it's
yeah.
not just like, I mean, when you said that, it made perfect sense because, for example, me and Alex, if you say, okay, here's a ball, kick it over there, we'll put it over there. But like, you got to act it almost. Like, it's like,
oh, yeah.
I can get the ball there, but like, can I look like I'm doing it
right.
for a camera?
Right.
Probably not. Like,
yeah,
it's just like, okay, well, the ball's there, yeah, but you look horrible. I don't want the shot.
Yeah, it doesn't look, yeah. you got to sell things,
right?
Right. And it feels ridiculous to do, it's what works. I mean, these guys, these stunt coordinators, the camera operators, they know what they're talking about, right? Like, you need to sell particular things, and it's not going to look oversold. And all that, like, it comes down to, like, frame rates and stuff like that, and how quickly they shoot things and all. But yeah, so it gets kind of technical with that kind of stuff.
Right.
But, you know, they did such a great job with us, and we just tried to not screw it up.
Well, I wonder, I mean, that just made me think, like, I wonder when you, you know, I'm sure you've seen videos of Cristiano Ronaldo taking a free kick.
Right.
And he does the power stance, and he does the heavy breathing, and, like, you could say that's his routine, that's what he needs to get focused in the moment. Or you could say maybe that's a similar thing, and
yeah.
it's basically a branding exercise.
Right, absolutely.
And he's selling it.
Well,
right?
Absolutely. I mean, some of the quote-unquote hate that Cristiano might get from fans is that they feel he does oversell it. It's like
right.
almost like you are acting slightly for the cameras. You know, Zlatan
right.
does it. You have some characters that do it. And people,
oh, he loves the drama.
Yeah.
He loves the drama.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He'd make a good actor, that guy.
I'm sure he'd...
I'm sure
he'd do a cameo if you asked.
Oh,
he already
yeah,
did.
Yeah.
Didn't he already do a movie for his own movie, right? He's in there quite a bit. I mean, he filmed his own documentary.
Oh, really?
Ronaldo Ronaldo had a movie recently.
Ronaldo, yeah.
Yeah.
He filmed his own...
Well, it's like his life story, but he's still playing. Like, I don't
like
know.
An auto documentary.
It's weird. There are some
it's
really
all selfies.
That's not self indulgent at all.
No. There are these really awkward scenes with his son where he's like pressuring him
right.
as a 7-year old to do push ups and stuff.
It's bizarre.
Yeah. But okay. So we're talking about practicing soccer and,
mm-hmm.
and what have you, and the people that you had training you, and you
right.
mentioned Ryan Pearce, who plays Davy Gunn.
Yeah, yeah.
Who you got to impersonate very early on. You got to do a little Scottish accent.
Yeah.
Davy Gunn. Oh, did I in the show?
Yeah. Or it sounds like it.
Yeah, no, I probably did.
Yeah.
Okay, man, we should. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Anyway, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
People will discover it for themselves.
Yeah.
But so he's an ex-professional footballer, as you
yeah.
said. He used to play in England, or sorry, in Scotland.
Yeah.
So was he involved in training you, or was he just acting like...
First of all, Ryan's just such an awesome dude. Like, he's a hilarious guy, too. He's, like, one of the funniest guys I've ever met. But the guy's just an incredible soccer player, right? So, like, I would ask him stuff all the time, and he would just, you know... But he would absolutely, like, help me out, any pointers, like, you know. But he's also getting... He's fairly new to acting, right? Which he takes it seriously. He's a competitive, obviously he's a pretty competitive guy. If you end up playing professional soccer, you're not one of. So he was really focused on the acting side of things, which you're gonna see in the show because I think he's awesome in it. Like I really do. From the stuff I've seen from working with him on set, like. He's a good actor.
He left an impression in the first two episodes.
Yeah, and I think he's going to be a guy that you're going to notice in this show. And he's a really good actor, and he put a ton. You could tell he just put a ton of work in, and it shows. And he's not the kind of guy that does anything half-assed. He doesn't play soccer anymore.
Right,
he's retired. So, you know he's a guy who played professional soccer because he's just like, there's soccer balls everywhere, open pitch,
right.
Like nets go, like all, just kick around all the time, and there's nothing to do on set but wait, there's nothing but time. And he would just sit in his chair and like, he was just like, he just doesn't even like,
he's not interested.
Not interested in kicking a soccer ball ever again. Like
right.
ever again.
Right.
He's just like, I don't care. Like I'm on to the next thing in my life, right?
Right.
And he's just ridiculous. Like I did see him out there every once in a while, right? And he would like, just like kick the ball from like behind his leg, just like 50 yards. And it's just like, I hit the ball that hard, my leg just breaks.
Right.
It's one of those things where like he would just, I would ask him a question about something and he would just like tell it to me. Just like sitting in his chair, like do that kind of thing, right? Like, it's hilarious. But anything you needed from that guy, anything you asked him about soccer, like he was on it. And the guy, and like I just, there were days, like every once in a while, he would just kind of like get up and just like strike a ball. And we're all just like, oh my God.
Like, you can see the form, is right. Like,
it's
yeah.
just like,
yeah.
And he's like, oh, I haven't done that in like 2 years. It's like, go to hell, man. Like, seriously.
Have you seen my video?
Yeah, it's like, go to hell. Like, yeah.
That's great. I can't imagine getting to the point where like there's a ball there and I don't want to.
Oh,
yeah, but
away.
You know what? That's not. And I don't want to like. I don't want to speak for him. And like, it's probably like the guy doesn't hate soccer,
no.
Obviously. But
he's focused on.
But yeah, but he's not like a kid in a schoolyard where it's just like when
right.
you see a ball, you're just there, right? Like. And that's not uncommon at all.
No,
for ex-professional athletes.
He's
like,
played a lot. Like we haven't. Like we feel like we want to get every minute possible. He's done.
There are so many professional athletes that when they're done, they're done.
Yeah.
Like hockey player Erik Karlsson was interviewed not too long ago, and they're like, "What are you gonna do after?" You know, it's like might be the best player in the world right now, top three player in the world.
Yeah.
And they're like, "What are you gonna do?" Like, and by the way, in the offseason, he doesn't play hockey.
Right.
He's like the only guy who doesn't. He goes
probably
back
doesn't
to Sweden,
watch it. Just like yeah.
He goes back to Sweden, and he plays soccer.
Right.
Straight
yes.
up. And I'm sure he's really bad at it. The guy's just like a freak of nature. But they're like, yeah, what are you gonna do after hockey? And he's just like, I don't know, but something has nothing to do with hockey.
Right.
Or what? Like you're gonna get into management, like the sense. I'm sure you'll be like a sense for life. And he's like, I don't really like when I'm done. I'm gonna be done.
Yeah.
And that's not an uncommon thing because like when you end up doing it for a living, I assume like. The romanticism of it probably gets taken away.
Hmm.
Like it just really is your job. And
yeah.
when you're retired from your job, you don't want to do it anymore.
Well,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we, you know, obviously we follow the game very closely. And there are some players that do it.
Right.
And the love never goes away. And it's absolutely their passion. And they become coaches immediately. And they stay involved. And there are some players who have no interest in it beyond it's a job. There was a player that used to play for Tottenham Hotspurs. Benoit Assou-Ekotto,
yeah.
who famously had no idea who his team was facing
right.
until he showed up and the game started. Like, he just
right.
wasn't plugged in at all.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting kind of dynamic.
Do you guys
yeah.
Get to watch any MLS games, maybe? Montreal or...
So, we played at... Saputo Field, right?
Nice.
Right? That's where, yeah.
Yeah, Saputo Stadium.
Saputo, yeah. We played there, and then we shot all of our locker room stuff at the Big O, which was great, too. Mm. Right on the eve of them setting up their match against TFC, where they couldn't paint the lines properly.
Oh, that was amazing. Oh, that was incredible.
We saw them setting up that field.
Yeah, it was like 20 minutes delay of like, sorry, scrub that out.
Here we go. Was it deliberate?
We were there like in the bowels of the Big O, like a couple days before, two or three days before, and they were like putting down the turf, and like so they weren't painted. I don't know, they weren't painted, but we didn't get to any impact games. We were, you know, shooting, and then it has to do with like when they're home or away and all that kind of stuff. But when I came back is when TFC went on the run and beat Montreal.
Yeah.
So I was at the game, cheering for TFC, of course.
Right.
I was at the game when they beat the Impact and Beta Shore that had like just a crazy, crazy game. I was at that game, and then I was.
So were we, yeah.
And then I was at the finals game when they lost.
Oh man! Yes, us too. Was that the coldest night of your life?
Oh yeah, probably.
My toes, horrendous. Like, I'm missing a few toes still from that night. It was.
I can't believe the save.
Oh yeah. Off Altidore's header.
Oh my God! I was right there too, and yeah. But you know, I got to tell you though, that drove me crazy. That drove me absolutely crazy. What was the thing? Didn't they not have a shot after regulation?
Yeah, Seattle didn't have a shot.
They didn't have a shot after regulation. And they won a penalty. Like, what a joke! Whatever.
Yeah, it was horrible. But okay, this ties perfectly into my next question, which is. You profess that you weren't a soccer fan really before this.
Right.
Are you one now? Has it made you more interested, less interested, the same?
Oh, definitely more interested. Okay. I follow too many sports. Yeah. I was like, all I do is listen to sports podcasts all day. And like, I'm a huge hockey fan, and I'm a huge baseball fan, and I'm a huge NFL fan. And I just don't have the time. But I never really let soccer in because I didn't, like, I played hockey really competitively. So, like, that was a big part of my life that sort of took up a lot of time. And so I didn't fully understand the game of soccer that well. Like, the idea that it really is a chess match and sort of how sort of elegant what people look at as sort of, like, slow, non-offensive soccer is. People who don't know it, like, don't understand the skill that goes into sort of watching that chess match play out. I learned way more about that stuff when I came onto this project. Like, I watched a ton of video and I watched a ton. And then I started playing, and all the guys that sort of are on the team, that make up the team, that aren't just the main cast members.
Right.
But the other sort of background actors that are all really great actors, but really great soccer players as well. Like, I would just watch these guys play and, like, sort of be playing on the pitch with them. And I just really started to understand, like, when you get in it, when you play it, you understand how much of a chess match it is. Mm. And, like, how that's what the game is. The game isn't, like, offensive opportunities. It's, like, ball control, possession. And so I have a much greater appreciation. And then TFC, like, being in that building for those two games, it's got to be the craziest, loudest sport event I've ever been at.
Yeah.
And so... So for me, that was like, that got me into it big time, big time. So I'm much more of a soccer fan now than I was.
The biggest thing we usually get from, especially if you play soccer, obviously you weren't in that position in the show, but we always get the whole, when people try soccer, it's always like, it's much more tiring than I think it is.
Oh yeah.
It's just because you are running around for 90 minutes, it's short bursts, there's no rolling subs, and that's the one thing I always get from people. They go, I'm dead. I did not think it was tiring. I thought, you know, whatever, it's not a big deal. It's, you know, there's no huge contact. Like, everything's fine. And that's the big thing I always get from people.
Yeah, it's exhausting, right?
Yeah.
And it's also a different kind of stand. Like, so,
yeah.
So I play hockey a couple times a week. I've always kind of played hockey growing up, but I still play it. And I played it sort of up to when I got cast on the show. So, like, the endurance playing hockey is different. It's like, go crazy for 35 seconds and stop on a dime, and then let that lactic acid burn, and then go crazy and stop and then get off. Right. And then you sit for 3 minutes and tighten up, which is great. And you get back on, you go crazy for 90 seconds, you come off. And it's just a different kind of stamina, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then I got out there and was just sort of like playing soccer with these guys, and I was like, I'm dead.
Yeah.
Like, I'm dead. Brain. And like, I'm not somebody who like sits on his ass all day. Like, I go to the gym and I play. And I was like, I can't breathe. Like, I'm just a puddle out here. Like,
yeah.
And it's just, because you never stop running. And then it's like, and then you get a little burst in between where you got to go crazy and chase a guy for 45 yards or probably less than that, 10, 15 yards at a time, and then stop and then turn around, and then you still got to keep, you know, stay on your feet and stay. And it, it's an exhausting sport. What is it? How much do they run? The average soccer player runs?
Love it. Like, I mean, 10K, I'd say average.
A game,
10, 11.
Yeah. It differs between leagues. Some leagues are kind of
positions
more physical than others. But like in the English Premier League, for example, 8 to 11.
It's average, but you can get like the people who really cover. You get the 15s and 16s who are just running around all day. You know, you get the Ramsays and midfielders. Midfielders who are just, I mean, not the sprawling thing, but the new guy on the team, his position, he'd be running like
14K. Yeah, absolutely.
But it's fun to see those stats after a game sometimes. You're like, but you know, on the screen, it just looks like you're going from here to here, like for 90 minutes. How did he cover like 15K?
I know. It's tough, for sure. And the other thing I noticed, honestly, playing was like striking, like how hard you got. Like, it's like hitting a golf ball, right? Mm. So or if you like hit a home run playing baseball or something like that, or even playing hockey, like if you get it, if you connect in the sweet spot, like you can just hammer a puck.
Right? Yeah, it's very similar. Like when you know.
As soon as you hit it, you can't feel it. When it doesn't hurt, like when you hit it and like you strike that thing hard. You're like a cutter right in the sweet spot, and you gotta kill this ball. Like, you just kill this ball. Yeah. And like, when it just doesn't spin, when it just sit. And so I think that a lot of people who don't play soccer, like watching it, like think that the ball's probably lighter than it is. But like, it's not that light. It's heavy and thick, and like, you gotta hammer that thing.
I think the big thing is also like people, a lot of the top sports, I mean, you've got football, like American football, basketball and baseball. Mm-hmm. The legs are just for running.
Yeah.
It's just for running. Yeah. I mean, other than the kicker and football, you only use your legs to run. You don't have to think about your legs.
Right.
You're only thinking about upper body stuff. And then you try and play football and you're like, well, I got to run, but also primarily do 90% of the activity using the same things.
Yeah.
So, you know, upper body, nothing really happens.
Yeah.
Like, you're not doing much up here. It's just balance. It's maybe a bit of strength. But it is that. It's like when you're learning languages that don't use the alphabet.
Right. Yeah.
It's a whole different thing than maybe going from English to Spanish, because, you know, or going to English to Japanese, that would be, you know, crazy.
Right.
And that's how I feel about football as well. When you go from all these predominantly top body, you know, sports to then a lower body sport.
Yeah. No, absolutely. 100%. I was falling all over myself because like, I never had to do that. Right.
Yeah.
Like coordination and balance. And like, it's, you can tell, like somebody who's like, had a soccer ball with their feet their entire life, and like they can do, it's sort of like second nature. It's like riding a bike or something like that. And then you get me out there just like face first, just like no, just an absolute gong show.
But center backs are allowed to do that.
Yeah,
so you're fine.
I know.
You're
just
okay.
Like, no,
you're
idea okay. What I'm doing.
They
just
do
like,
that at professional level.
Just like,
yes. Fine.
Get the ball away from me. Like, put it over there. Get it away from me, and let me act like I'm doing something here.
You would be surprised at how many professional center backs play in exactly that way. Don't worry about it at all.
Yeah.
So I think that was all the questions we have about the show. It's, you know, it's dramatic. It's fun. If you love soccer, there are so many things in it for you.
Mm-hmm.
You said you might have a couple questions.
Yeah. So one of the things I want to ask you guys, because I was, I had to learn a lot about the game, and it's interesting because I have kind of an objective sports opinion about this, like with soccer, right? Because I'm sort of new to it, but I understand sport very well, and I understand sort of the history of sport and where things come from, and how leagues are run, and you know,
right.
And so one of the things that I think the NFL does better than any league in the world, because I think one of the worst things that many professional sports have going for them is their tradition. Hockey's awful for it in this country. Like we have sort of these archaic rules that are based in tradition that don't really, if you objectively look at them, they can be changed and should be changed, but nobody wants to change things.
Okay.
And everything needs to be grandfathered in really slowly through the minor league team, you know, through like in the AHL, whatever, you get a grandfather in all these stupid things and it takes forever to get things done. And the NHLPA puts up a fight. The Players Associations right. put up a fight. All this kind of crap, right? One of the things the NFL does better than any league in the world is they just change shit every year.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They just change it. Like, they just do. They'll, we need to protect our quarterback. All right, so that's just a flag if you hit quarterback extra hard.
Done, right.
And there's no, like, oh, but, you know, hitting your quarterback really hard has been a part of football for 60 years. Like, if you don't want him to get hurt, you should, like, sort of, you know, you should be protecting the outside rusher better. And it's just like, well, no, but they're just our franchise guys. They're, we want this to be an offensive-driven league for television. And they just implement a rule, like reviewing pass interference. And then if it doesn't work, they just take it out the next year.
Right.
Done. They don't give a crap. They just do this stuff. They don't bring it in through, high school systems in Texas. They don't do any of that stuff.
Right.
This is going to sound really stupid. I don't understand why the hell in soccer there isn't a set clock. Injury time is the dumbest thing in the world. Like, it's not true.
Injury time is not true. Like, it's actually not true. We sat there with a stopwatch ourselves. And
right.
The half is 45 minutes.
Did we?
Well, I did. Oh. And me and my brother actually did this. We were like, there's always 2 minutes of injury time at the end of the half. That makes no sense. Let's actually see how much you play the game. And you play 30 minutes out of the 45. So technically, there's 15 minutes of injury time.
Right.
But the argument is that it's so tireful as is that if we stop and start...
Mm-hmm.
The quality will, by the end of the game, will just deteriorate. So you need those pauses where the ball goes out for a throw-in.
I'm with you. I'm down for that. What I don't understand, like, I'm all for having injury time, and I'm all for sort of setting it up. And you sort of, you come up with a number after 90 minutes, right? 5 minutes and 34 seconds, whatever the hell it is. Come up with a number. I'm with you. But when we get into injury time, because like, that's necessary, and otherwise you're going to lose, guys are going to dive and try and
waste time.
Like, I get it. Come up with a number the way it is. I never had a problem with that. The problem I have is it should, there should be a clock that's 5 minutes and 34 seconds at the 90 minute mark that starts. And when it hits 5 minutes and 34 seconds, a buzzer goes and the game is over.
Right.
I don't understand the idea of allowing
The last play. Right.
So, like, if I'm up 1-0 in injury time, and you're trying to score on my team, and you can't get the ball over your own half, that's further evidence that I deserve to win, and you're not good enough. Like, I don't understand why the refs are allowing you the opportunity to have one more scoring chance. That makes zero sense. Like, it's I'm assuming it's just because it's the way it's always been.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair point. It's a totally fair point. There has been a proposal recently, which kind of combines both what you're talking about, Amahad, your thing with the stopwatch, which is to reduce halves to half an hour. So that the game is an hour's playing time, because that 15 minutes isn't being used for football.
Right.
And that combines the two things. You get the kind of stop clock, and you get the not being too tireful because you've only got half an hour, right?
I think that... In general, what you're saying also in general is what kind of differentiates soccer sometimes from the North American sports is the fact that people like that soccer is raw.
Right.
They like the fact that, you know, there isn't that beep. They like the fact that the referees, there's no video replays. Yeah. They like that. Like, that's a huge thing.
There is now, but it's very controversial.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It took forever, like you said, to get it in. It took forever. The first thing that was implemented was goal line technology, which is, you know, did the ball cross the line out for a goal? So it's the major thing in soccer, a goal or no goal. That took forever to implement.
Right, which it shouldn't have, but whatever. Yeah.
The new thing now is about video replays. That's not everywhere. That's still, I mean...
The challenges, the coaches' challenges on fouls.
And like the fact that there's a fourth referee outside that has a monitor and can talk to the main referee.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the problem is the game is getting faster.
Right.
And the referees aren't getting more alien and less human. They're still the same people, but the game is just, the players are in much better conditions. They play at a much faster pace, but the refs are still the same refs.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, now you have situations, and I think part of the reason that they're now starting to bring in like video referees is because you've got however many thousands of fans in the stadium who have just seen the replay on their phone and have a better idea of what the correct decision should be than the guy on the field.
Right, that's the problem. And every sport's dealing with this issue, right? Yeah. And it's why they don't show instant replays of controversial calls in the building. They never do. Like in hockey, they don't do it. Like in baseball, they don't do it. They don't show reviewable plays at the plate because people will go crazy, right?
We saw that in a
TFC game.
In a TFC game recently, and it blew my mind. Yeah, I actually got physically mad. Like Alex will remember, like I got physically mad because I'm watching MLS and I really want it to be this great product, and then this happens. You know, there's a call. They play the replay on the screen.
The referee watches it.
The referee watches it and changes his mind.
Like on the Jumbotron. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I'm just like, that is.
But did he get the right call?
Well, he changed his mind to the right call.
Right.
And regardless of whether it was the right call, it felt amateur.
It was the lack of process, right?
Yeah, the lack of process. But that process should be
exist.
Should exist.
Yeah.
Right. And like, so this is the thing that they're dealing with now, right? Which is like, in baseball and in like in hockey with the offside rules and stuff, they're like, well, the problem is that human error has always been part of the game, and if you start reviewing everything. Then, if you start reviewing everything, then the game slows down too much. Okay, well then, what you should do is make sure your process is faster, right? Like, that's one. Make sure your process is faster. Two, you know, like, you shouldn't be able to challenge every play if you're a coach. Like, in hockey, they got a thing where it's like, oh, you lose a timeout. Well, okay, that's fine. But if you want to actually speed this up and make sure that coaches don't waste challenges on non-consequential stuff, the penalty should be a penalty.
Right,
like you got
like. There's ways of doing
it. There are processes
too,
to make this better, but like I fundamentally don't disagree with the fact that a ref blew a call, reviewed it,
right,
and changed it to the right call, right? Yeah. Just like that's what tennis does, right? With the line.
Hawkeye,
mark,
yeah,
right?
With Hawkeye. The big thing as well is that soccer as a sport is now just so full of money that this is a point Alex always brings up, which is a right call or a wrong call could literally cause you, I mean, in Europe, there's relegation and promotion, and it could literally cause you $100 million swing in one way or the other.
Right.
Like, it's that important to get that call right. And as the sport gets more, you know, there's a lot of on the line financially, it's almost like people are pushing more for the right decision. Because
totally.
If I've won the game,
yeah,
I should win the game.
Right.
As opposed to, did the ref think I won the game?
Right.
You know,
right,
like
yeah,
it's
yeah.
really it's my effort, not the ref's effort. Like,
yeah,
it
yeah,
should
yeah.
be counted at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
But the argument is always, the big soccer argument is always that it's for the people, it's for the lower classes, it's for the, you know,
yeah,
it's not expensive to play, it's very accessible, all you need is like two rocks and a ball.
Right.
Like, the more soccer gets kind of more like the North American sports, where it gets more expensive to play, more expensive to implement. That's the argument some people have, is that you want to keep soccer for the blue collar, for...
I'm with you. And that's one of the things that, I mean, obviously, that I'm sure that's a reason why it's so popular here, because, for instance, like, hockey's incredibly expensive now. Like, ice time is incredibly expensive now.
Oh, it's nuts.
Equipment is not... Like, it's just going to cost you thousands of dollars. And one of the beautiful things about soccer that I do appreciate is that it's just so bare bones, like raw athleticism, like kicking a ball cannot be it is just the most natural kind of form of whatever competition.
Yeah.
Like there's not, you don't need anything, right? Like you can play it on gravel, you can play it with rock,
you just
whatever.
Need a ball. That's
you need a ball, you need something,
you need.
Right?
It originated, I believe, when like two towns would essentially like kick a rock.
Yeah.
Between them.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
Like whoever made it to the other town.
Absolutely.
Was like,
yeah. It's like wins, right?
Yeah.
And it's like it is the most sort of like, it's the sort of the purest form of competition I think we have, other than maybe the 100 meter dash or something like that, right?
Like fighting.
I guess fighting. But so I don't know. It's
it's an interesting topic.
Which
and
is
it's
a topic
one,
that is relevant. It is it is the whole video replay, the whole refereeing replay.
Yeah. And I was amazed how long it took for them to implement the goal line review stuff. Like I remember I saw I can't remember what play. I saw something a couple years ago. Like a huge, and it wasn't implemented. Like I couldn't believe that they
could have been the England Germany, could have been
It was
yeah,
that. Yeah,
Lambert's
yeah, yeah.
Goal,
yeah, that's exactly
yeah,
what it was.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe that that wasn't like a process that they had going at like the highest level, right? Wasn't it the World Cup or something?
Yeah.
It was. So and I just couldn't understand that. I was like, I don't get it. Like the, I don't know, whatever.
And the funny thing is that like that happened in the final of the World Cup in 1966, and people have been literally been discussing it since then.
Oh yeah, how did you know that?
We only just fixed it.
Yeah, how could you know?
Some people don't want the discussion to go away.
Yes,
right. That's basically what it comes down to. You want the discussion post game.
Right.
You
want
to have analysis. You want to have
debate.
Referee.
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah. That's true. That's true. I guess there's nothing.
All that sports radio. You listen to.
Yeah.
Well,
no.
What are you gonna say?
It's so funny. Like the narrative of sports talk radio is always like it's always way better when the hometown team is garbage.
Yeah.
Because there's so much material.
Yeah.
Like you just rip on people and it's like when things are going great, it's
you need
not
as
you need
controversy,
you need conflict, right?
Yeah,
like it's
true,
Yeah.
I think that wraps us up.
Yeah.
If you want to remind people again, just
so 21 Thunder premieres on CBC at 9 p.m. on July 31st, which is this Monday. And I think it's going every Monday. For a bunch of weeks after that at 9 and then you can also watch it's on iTunes too.
Cool.
Internationally
you can stream it.
Yeah, you can watch it you can stream it on cbc.ca and as the episodes come out you'll be able to stream on cbc.ca and you can also get them on iTunes. You'll be able to sort of like watch this season on iTunes for internationally, because you know internationally you can't watch cbc.ca because,
right
So I mean, check it out. I mean, I'm excited for it.
We pod every Monday from around 7 to 9, so we're probably gonna pod then huddle around it for an hour.
There it is.
Wicked.
Yeah,
and
do a little pregame.
Exactly.
Pregame podcast.
And just so people know, as this is an audio medium, what is your character called, and what's like a defining physical characteristic?
I'm the guy with the mohawk.
Yep.
Correct.
Is that what you were looking for?
Yeah.
I'm the guy with the mohawk who his name is his nickname's Big Snacks, but his name's Stefan Arnaud. And I spend I think probably half of the first two episodes naked.
I saw that.
There you go.
So so just look for the naked guy with the mohawk.
Cool.
Get out of my bathroom.
You'll see.
You're watching the first episode with your parents, I assume.
Oh, yeah, right.
Pretty much. Kevin, thank you very much for joining us. And hopefully we'll catch up with you maybe after season one. And
anytime.
Talk about it.
All right. 100%.
Thanks
guys. Thank you.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com, follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh, and for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.